I do hope that you all had a wonderful Christmas and New Year's. My wife and I were away. Thank you for that time with our families. It's an interesting time and season in their lives, and we are very thankful that we could be a part of it. I'm looking forward to a new year. I hope that you all are as well. Let's take a moment as we prepare to seek God's word together, just to pray and ask him to speak to us. Father, thank you that your word speaks in every season and every time. Would you help us recognize all that you called us to, all that you have for us, as we seek you first? Lord, be our first thought in the morning. Be our last thought at the end of the day. Lord, help us put your will before our own in everything. Teach us from your word. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. I don't know if your family is still doing these stay up till New Year's on New Year's Day. Does anybody still do that? Some of you are still like, oh, yeah, you had a little, I don't know, eggnog or something, watch the fireworks, or I just listen to my neighbor's fireworks, I think, and that usually wakes me up. I don't know if I'm as psyched about that, but we're doing a sermon today on a new perspective for a new year. And it's actually a pretty theologically heavy one. It's one that I think that you will feel challenged, even though it seems so basic. It's calling for a true evaluation of our lives. We're going to look at the book of Colossians, and we're going to look at specifically Colossians chapter 3, beginning the first verse. It says this: "Since then, you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory." All right, let's stop and take a look at those first four verses because I think they are so incredibly important and hold an important truth that has an incredible application for us. What is it? It's that you have a new reality. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a new creation, and there is something that is real about your life, that you belong somewhere else, that there is part of you that is somewhere else, that there is a future for you that is a present reality, even though it's not yet fully realized. We are to set our hearts and our minds on things above. Why? Because we've been raised with Christ. So here's our first point today. Your New Year's change, if you want to have something different, and we all want something different, right? Anybody feeling something different for 2026? I got some hand raises, you know. We could all lose a little weight. We could all go to the gym more regularly. We could all put a little bit more money in savings. We could try to pay off a bill. We might want to get a promotion. I get it. But a spiritual change in 2026, that some of the struggles of the past, some of the sins that have held us captive, that 2026 would be different. There is a key in this passage. And what does it say? That first, Paul challenges to focus our hearts and our minds on the new reality that we have in Christ Jesus. It is a mindset. It is a focus. It is a understanding. It is a commitment of where we're supposed to be in our thoughts, that we focus our minds on this new reality. Look, let me show you in the text. Look at verse 1. Since you have been raised with Christ. Wait, what? He's not talking about something that will happen. He's not talking about when Jesus returns and the dead who are in Christ will be raised and us who are still alive will be caught up together with him in the clouds of the air. That is a reality, and that is a truth, and that is a future truth that will come about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But this is a reality now. Since you, as a follower of Jesus, someone who has asked Jesus to come into your life, someone who says, forgive me, you have a new reality. You have been raised with Christ. It's like, I don't remember being dead. I don't remember going into the grave. I don't remember being in the tomb. I don't remember any of those things. The Apostle Paul has an understanding that he wants you to have as well, that we are in Christ Jesus. Theologians call it the in Christ construction. Throughout his letters, it keeps saying in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. that we also with Christ, when he died on the cross, it was him taking our place. But in essence, our sins were being paid for right there. We were in Christ Jesus. When he went into the tomb and was dead, we also, the old life was buried and dead. And when he was raised to the new life, to the glory of God the Father, we too are in Christ and have been raised. As he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, we too are seated with him. Look what it says in the book of Ephesians. It says in chapter 1, verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus." Now, guys, I woke up this morning. I'm not in heaven. Well, okay, in my home with my wife, I'm sure, yes, everybody's thinking, yes, it's heaven. Yeah, okay, glory, yeah, okay. Yeah, that was loving, that was kind, come on. But, you know, okay. I get it. This world is full of trouble. This world is full of all kinds of problems. I woke up yesterday and was like, wait, what? We're attack Venezuela stuff, the government, I mean, there's wars. I get it. This world is full of problems. This world is full of all kinds of messes, personal difficulties in our lives. But here's something. The author and pioneer of our faith, our Messiah, our King, our leader, our Savior, has gone before us. He has gone into the grave. He has defeated death. He has risen from the dead. He has conquered death. He has been exalted to the highest place at the right hand of the Father. And our King, our Savior, our Messiah, our leader, Jesus, is at the right hand of the Father. And we have been escorted into God's presence in him. We have access to the Father because of him. We have eternal life because of him. We have a new relationship with God because of him. We are in Christ Jesus if you have put your faith in him. That's a new reality for every believer. Now, maybe you're saying, yeah, I've heard that before. But here's the thing. Sometimes, even though we have heard that before, we're not applying that truth. Look again what it says in verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Here's the application. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Do you see how the truth that Christ is there, the truth that you are in Christ, so you are there with the Father, that truth has an application in your life. That application is that what? That you change what your heart's about. You change where your focus is. If I am with Christ Jesus, if I am exalted, if I belong there, if my eternity is there and not here, then what am I doing? I'm setting my affections. I'm setting the things that I love on the things above where Christ is seated. That's what we're told to do. What are the things that you love? What are the things that you love? So often we get captivated by, I don't know, anybody excited about some Christmas gift that you got? Man, I love this thing. Woo! I got a little captured by sailing this summer. I liked it. It was a lot of fun. I talked a lot about sailing. In fact, it's all I talked about for months. I've calmed down a bit, but the next season's coming. Right, we get something we love, or maybe it's fixing up, right, our house, or maybe it's like that class, or maybe it's that club that we're involved in, or maybe it's that relationship that just started. There's this thing that we talk about, that we think about, that kind of can become all-consuming in our lives. These things that we love, the Apostle Paul says, guys, remember, this is temporary. You are raised with Christ Jesus. You are set in the heavenlies with him. There is an eternal dwelling that we have. There is a presence that we have with the Almighty God, the one who created all things, the one by whom and for whom all things exist. We are in him, and therefore our minds and our thoughts ought to be captured by him. Now, some of you guys are thinking, man, I get it. God's supposed to be big. God's supposed to be important. God should be like a center there. I should be like wholly raptured by just my thinking of him. My mind should be set on those things above, not on earthly things. But the truth of the matter is, I can see my new car. I can see my job thing that I'm excited about. I can see this relationship that I have right now. This seems far more tangible. I think there's something here, though. I think it's because we're not taking setting our minds on things above, setting our affections on things above, we're not doing it as an action, as an activity. What do I mean by that? How much time am I spending in time of prayer and time with God's Word, and how much time am I spending watching football? Okay, you see where this thing is, right? How much time did I prepare on worshiping God as I prepared my Christmas gift list? Because I had all the people I had to buy for, and I had to do it really fast, or I could use Amazon and get it to mail. But you know what I'm saying. I gave thought to those things. Did I give thought to my worship and to my attention to God this week? Here's the thing. We set our attention on the things right now. We get ready for class. We get ready for work on Mondays. We get ready for that date. We get ready for that seeing our families. We get ready for that big Christmas meal. We get ready for everything we've got to do to pay our bills. We put our minds and our hearts on things below, not on things above. I need to set my heart on things above. I need to set my mind on things above. I can't do that if I'm not spending time reading His Word. I can't do that if I'm not spending time with His people. I can't do that if I'm not praying for the things that are on God's heart. Have you stopped and prayed for our three young men that are overseas right now? Can we stop? Can we pray for our 3,000 students that are in a closed country? God has opened some incredible doors. Even the last 2 days, they were expecting some amazing things to happen this day. Can we stop and pray? Stop and pray for them. Father, we pray for our friends. We pray for these 3,000 guys. And we pray for Sierra in Houston as well. We pray for the guys as they have opened doors to the good news of your Son. We pray that people would come to know you even today. Change eternity. Do your work. Keep them safe. Give them open doors. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Doesn't take long, but it shifts my thoughts. It shifts my heart. It puts things where they ought to be. Why? Well, because the truth is, we supposedly, in Christ Jesus, have died to the old things, and my real life is now hidden with God. That's what it says in verse 3. Look at it. For you died, and your life is now hidden with God. What's he referring to? Well, in Romans 6, he kind of gives a little more explanation. This is why we do believer's baptism here, where after you've made your faith in put your faith in Christ, we actually baptize you by immersion all the way into the water, symbolizing a death and resurrection. Because look what it says in Romans 6. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also, what? Live with him. In the same way, count yourselves, consider yourself, understand yourself as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I need to reckon my life differently. I need to understand my life differently. I need to see it that my baptism was a pledge of a good conscience to God, saying, God, I am done with the old life, not, whew, thank you for that forgiveness. I'm going to keep living this way. That's not okay. That's not okay. I can't say, oh yeah, I'm getting married today. I've still got a couple girlfriends on the side probably. No, you get married and no more other girlfriends. It's one, you got one and only person, right? No cheating, right? That's not okay. I've got to consider myself dead to certain things. That means my retirement plan can't capture my attention. Sure, I can plan, but not capture my heart and my attention. That means that vacation can't be what I'm living for. That means that I can't, just got to fix up my house. That is my life. My life is now in Christ Jesus. His purposes, His plans, His glory, His fame. I want Him to be exalted in all the earth. My mind was wandering some this morning. It wandered a little bit to the fact, I don't know if you caught this, but just last month, there was a story in the Southern Baptist Press that they send it out to all the churches and pastors, and you read it sometimes, you don't read it sometimes. It's got stories of all the things that are going on. But occasionally I have stories about churches. And I have stories about God, what God is doing in certain churches. And last month, it had a story about Valley Baptist Church. Yeah, but if you didn't catch it, we'll repost it in the newsletter. We posted it in the newsletter not too long. You know, the weekly thing that comes out on Wednesdays. Read that one. There's good stuff in there. That's a little plug. It was Valley Baptist Church. And it was talking about the college students helping the church revitalize. You guys were leading worship again this today with Josh. Thank you for that. And it was talking about the different roles students had, and it had some picture, and Brandon was up here preaching, and I was like, okay, that was some good stuff, some good quotes by Rachel in there. I mean, yeah, good stuff that was going on about God doing some things here in the life of this church. And I thought, yeah, good stuff at Valley Baptist. We made it in the newspaper article. You know, they'll probably want to, like, do a feature on the pastor, that'd be fun. My mind was wandering. But then I thought, you know, it would be really amazing if all of a sudden no credit was given except to the one who it deserves. For I died. My life is now hidden with Christ. What if this parking lot looked like it did today because people were trying to get in here? Because they wanted to experience the love and power and transformation that God brings. What if so many people were coming to Jesus that they didn't even remember this church or this people because all of the churches began to fill up because they didn't have enough space? Because Jesus did what Jesus could do in 2026. That's not something Pastor Mike or Pastor Barry or any of the other staff or any of us could do, but only something that the King could do. Oh, my mind started wandering a little bit. Set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated. Because you died. Your glory isn't all that important. Your glory isn't even cool. Your glory is pretty much nothing. But the glory of the one who is glorious could be my heart's affection, could be the sole object of my heart's affection. It could be what my mind drifts to. Because you yourselves were dead. Count yourselves dead to the old ways, to sin, and alive to Christ. Because when Christ who, I love this passage, this verse 4, Christ who is your life is not that career. Your life is not those relationships. Your life is not those challenges or difficulties. Your life is not that past, maybe that you're ashamed of, or maybe that you're proud of. Your life is not some accolade or attention or achievement or club or purpose. Your life is Christ. So that when he appears, you will appear with him in glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 reminds us of this, that we need to be citizens of heaven. For it says in chapter 4, verse 4, for while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. I think he was definitely over 50 when he wrote this. The groans and the burdens of this tent, I hear they get a little harder. Yeah, we don't want to be unclothed, but we want to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He's talking about the change that will come when we are clothed with our eternal body, with our body that will be in heaven forever with Christ. There will be a perfected body. There will be no pain. There will be no suffering. There will be no temporary disease or sickness or illness, but yet when he comes, it'll be swallowed up by life. Now the one who fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us his Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Why do I put that passage in there? I don't know. I think it was just this. I'm just too connected to this world. My eternity is going to be in a new home. I spend so much time thinking, well, you know, I really got to get this body in shape. That may be a hopeless cause. But maybe some new clothes. But maybe some kind of, this is temporary. I want my heavenly dwelling. That's where I am. I want it to be more focused on that. Even as I spend time with my parents and my family, they're getting a little older now. Some of you are like, that's not that old. It's starting to show. I'm thinking, yeah, but that's not their home. That's not their home. That's not their home. This is New Year. If we're going to have a change spiritually, we've got to set our minds on things above. We've got to let our new reality be what causes our hearts to go to things above. All right, next point. If you want to see change, spiritual change in this new year, you got to do something else. You actually need to do an action. You need to free yourselves from your old ways. Now, when I say free yourselves, you're thinking, well, I can't do this on my own. Yet you're right. It needs the power of the Holy Spirit. You need Jesus to help you. But listen to how Paul describes freeing ourselves. Look at this passage back into Colossians. What does he say? Verse 5, put to death. It's an imperative. It's a command. This is something for you to do. He says, put to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your flesh or to your earthly natures. And then he's going to give you some examples. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, and which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. This is his very first list. What does he tell us to do? Put it to death. This is an action. This is an action. When we find these things that become corrupting to our focus, which call for our attention the wrong way, we got to do something. We got to cut it off. We've got to say no. We've got to say uh-uh. We've got to not entertain. We can't give it, Paul says, a foothold. And we can't allow it to fester or grow. We got to get the weeds out of the garden. We've got to get the junk out of the closet. We got to get the stuff gone out of our lives. I say this is list number one because this first list of things that he gave as examples, they all talk about a corruption of our focus. They all a corruption of our affections, corruption of the things that we're looking at, our attention is given. And look at his list. I put it up here for us, a little quick summary here. Might be on the test. Sexual morality, impurity, lust, then evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. There could be other things that capture you. There could be other things that are the center of your affections. This wasn't an exhausted list, nor was it intended to be. But these were all things that pull at our heart. The first three, sexual immorality, impurity, and lust, I think are all in that whole sexual world category over here. I think those are all pretty much there. And it's one that, quite honestly, we kind of want to gloss over a little bit real quick. And now moving on to greed and stuff that's like money and don't get captured by money. But can we stop for a second? Because Paul does. Repeatedly. Throughout his letters, when he talks about these sins, these things that capture our heart, he starts with the sexual sins. He starts with the things that are these lusts, that these physical desires, because they are real and they are part of us for many of us. Now, I get that some have sort of a freedom from that, and that is awesome. But for everybody else, that's part of our human experience. That there are things that we desire, lust that we have in our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, hey, it is God's will that you are sanctified. In other words, made holy. And the first thing he then says is, so avoid sexual immorality. Why does he start with that one? He could have started with money. He could have started with anger. He could have started with pride. He could have started with so many sins that corrupt. But he starts with the sexual sin. Why? Because they are within us. The flesh, what he calls the sinful nature of the flesh, the sarx. Man, it has, my body wants to eat, my body wants to breathe, my body craves sexual things. It does. That is part of our human makeup. I get it. And it's one that we have to be aggressive about. He doesn't say, well, just kind of try to lessen that part. Put it to death. Put it to death. Put it to death. We've got to watch what we're watching. We have got to put to death things that maybe enter our eyes. We've got to put to death like corrupting thoughts. We've got to put to get fantasies, pornography. These things, I mean, they have got to get out of his people, out of the church, out of our lives. Yikes. Don't want to talk about it. Don't want to bring it up. But when we get serious about making sure that we are being pure in our hearts and our minds, treating one another as brothers and sisters, making sure there is no room in our hearts, our minds, and nothing in our actions that could ever be impure, then we become that holy temple that God has called us to be. We've got to begin there. Paul does. Scripture does. This is not to shame you. This is not to embarrass any of us. This is just to say, guys, we're in this fight together or we're losing. So let's fight the good fight this year. Let's make sure there's no room for lust, sexual immorality, impurities. Number two, evil desires, greed, idolatry. Man, you can put any of the stuff in that bucket, right? I mean, it's the things that consume me. It's the things that I'm all about. How quickly it becomes our money. How quickly it becomes our successes. How quickly it becomes the things that we take our pride in. These become our focus and take our affections away from Christ Jesus, away from the love that we're called to have for God. What do you need to put to death this year? And I'm not saying just like him. What just needs to be unplugged, not given any power? What needs to be kicked out, put on the curb? What needs to be thrown in the garbage, cleaned out? What needs to be gotten rid of? I think we just don't take this seriously. I love my mom. She's an incredible woman. At home, she has been cleaning out stuff to downsize. She's been saying that for like 7 years. And every year when I go to visit, and every time I go to visit, she's showing me stuff that she's downsizing. And it's photos, and it's albums, and it's journals, and every year, it's the same ones. She's not getting any new photos. She's not getting new. So really, it's moving from this room. She goes through it and moves it to this room. And from this room, she moves it to this room. And some of you are laughing with me, but nothing's actually getting cleaned out. It's just getting moved around. Brothers and sisters, I think we do that sometimes with sin in our lives. Well, yeah, I kind of defeat something. Okay, I got this out. But then we make room over here. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion looking for whom to devour. The thing about these sort of things, these hard affection deals, they don't go away. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Abstain from, or maybe verse 11, but abstain from evil desires which war against your soul. They're already there. They're already in you, and you got to keep putting it out. You got to keep putting it to death. You got to stay aggressive and watching your heart's affection, and you got to replace it. In verse 7 of Galatians chapter 6, it says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Brothers and sisters, the sin stuff will destroy us. It will consume us. Colossians chapter 3 says, look, you used to walk in those ways, in the life you once lived, but now you got to rid yourself, get it out, of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Did you just realize we got a second list? The first list, right? Lusts and evil desires and greed. Okay, a new list. This one, I call it the character corruption. If the one was your affections, what you love, this is what you're doing. This is about your character. What does it say? Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. You can add to it. What kind of things in your character this year you need to work on? Is it that road rage around the Beltway? Sure, that could be it. Is it how you're responding to your children? Yeah, that could be it. Is it how you're acting with your parents? Yeah, that could be it. Whew. That was the toughest one for me in college. Like adjusting to how my relationship was changing with my parents into young adulthood. They still had expectations, but I wasn't a kid anymore, and I'd be so grouchy with them. I wish I could go back and redo that. Character corruptions, grouchiness could be on there for me with my parents. Just not being patient, unkind. These kinds of things, we used to walk in this old way. What do you need to work on this year? What things need to change? What you need to rid yourself of all such things? Finally, Colossians 3 verse 9 says, and stop lying about it. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. Here there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. What are these? Relationship corruptors. The first one is lying. The first one is lying. Now, you're thinking, I'm not really a liar. Anybody ever late? Anybody ever like shade, right? You're late, but you're not really like, what do you say? Oh, you know, there was traffic, or whoo boy, it was, you know, just a few things kind of got in the way of me being here. You were late because you left too late, right, to get there on time. That's what it was. I mean, we always shade things a little. Here's the thing. Sometimes we put on this mask. We put on this mask. Oh, yeah, we're good here at church, but we're dishonest. We're lying to each other. Everything's fine. Everything's good. When there's stuff that's breaking us on the inside, there's stuff that's got a hold of us on the inside. Guys, it is time to rid our lives. Get it out. Put to death. And we might need each other to do so. If we're going to be accountable with each other, if we're going to love with each other, it might need to say, I'm struggling. My devotion life has been in the pooper for a while. My life hasn't been passionately pursuing God. I've been struggling with pick your thing, your poison, greed, lust, pride. These things are killing me. It's okay to say, these things are killing me. I want them out of here. It's okay to confess. In fact, we're commanded to confess to one another. A chosen brother, a trusted sister, someone that you can say, hey, I need help. I need this out. I want to be free. If we're going to have a new heart in a new year, we got to say, yes, Lord. Sometimes it's that just that pride of life that keeps us down. This racism or classism, any of the kind. There's no Scythian or slave or free. There's no the spiritually righteous or the unrighteous. No, we are all before Christ. We are all laid bare before Him. 1 John chapter 2 says, for in everything in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to live this new life, we got to let the love of God transform us. We got to let His love fill us, and that's the third and last point. We got to let His love fill our lives. Let's see it. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, what are you supposed to do? Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We're putting on something new. We're getting out the old as dearly loved children. Don't make this mistake. We are not serving a wrathful, vengeful God who's out to punish us and just beat us down for every wrong thing. He has loved you so much that you are already in Christ. You are already seated in the heavenly realms if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. He has loved you already. You are His dearly loved children. That's what inspires me to have compassion for others. That calls me into this relationship where I can be kind and I can be patient, even if I'm being wronged. In fact, it calls me to forgive. That's what the next verse says in verse 13. So bear with one another. Forgive each other. Just as in Christ, God has forgiven you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, even if you have a grievance against someone else. Forgiveness becomes that way we model Christ. Love. Verse 14. And over all of these things put on love, which binds them all in perfect unity. This year, I wanted to be different. 2025, I got to be honest, was a hard one. It was a good one. We saw 16 people give their lives to Christ, were baptized. That's exciting. It was a good one. That whole Lottie Moon challenge goal thing, I remember giving offering thing, like, hey, are we going to support our missionaries or not? And we thought, hey, let's double it this year to 10,000. And then we said, well, what if we did 15,000? I don't know. I got some little note that told me it was $14,649 as of so far. We're like $400 away from $350 away. $351 away from 15,000. I think some people gave some money already today. I'm rejoicing over these things. But I still want spiritual renewal. I want vitality in my walk with God. It's not going to come if I'm doing the same things the same way. I've got to seek first His kingdom. I've got to put Him first. I got to get stuff out. I got to get rid of. I got to let the love of Christ compel me. Today we're going to celebrate a symbol of God's love. We're going to remind ourselves of the love that God has for us. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. If you didn't catch one of the elements today, Dick is coming around with some for you. Just slip up your hand. We have some in the front. You see, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He washed His disciples' feet, showing them the full extent of His love. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He spent time with His disciples, showing them, explaining to them the role of the Holy Spirit and the love that God has for them. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took time to fully express His love before He would be beaten, before He'd be falsely accused, before He would be nailed to the cross, before He would die for the sins of the world. Today we remember the love of Christ that purchased for us salvation. So let's take this moment to prepare, to examine ourselves, to recommit ourselves to Him and the new life that He gives. Hear His words, the words of the Apostle Paul, as he remembers that night when he tells us, "For what I received, I also pass on to you, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, and He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Take the bread and eat, and remember the sacrifice that Christ gave. Goes on to say, after the supper, He took the cup and He said, Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of Me." Take the cup and remember the new agreement in Christ's blood, the forgiveness that you have for your sins. Paul says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Today we've proclaimed that Jesus died for your sins, that He rose again, and that He is at the right hand of the Father today interceding for us. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you've never said yes to Him, would you say yes to Him today? Or perhaps today, you just need to say, "I need a new year. I need a spiritual renewal. I'm forgiven. I get that Christ is in my life, but I've held parts back. He
He's not been Lord of everything. And maybe today you just want to come and kneel at the altar when we sing. Maybe you want to come and sit on the front row. Maybe you want to pray with one of the pastors. Maybe you just want to say, it's me. I want to be all in today. Would you say yes to what God's calling you to? Would you say yes to this new year? Would you say yes to focusing your hearts and your minds on things above? Would you say yes to ridding yourselves of all such things, rage, malice, envy? Would you put to death all the things, lust, greed, pride? Would you put it out of your life that Christ may be all, in all, and all in you? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for the calling that we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you for your love. I ask that you would make us, your people, holy and dearly loved. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. The music team is going to come and they're going to lead us in one more song. If you're able, we invite you to stand and sing with us, but we also invite you to respond. If you need to respond to the Lord, if you need to make a recommitment of your life, if you need to give your life to Christ, would you respond? Let's stand.